right now, it is time for one of my favorite times of the week, History Matters, with the one and only historian extraordinaire Scott Washington taking a look back at this week in history. How are you?
Well, doing good. And, you know, you hear that music, and everyone should feel just cooler already.
Yeah. Cooler in all manner
that's
of
right,
ways,
right?
Yeah, a little bit colder and a little bit...
It gives you permission to talk with, like, an English dialect.
Yes.
It's wonderful.
Well, no, today's National Sunglasses Day,
that's
so
right.
Cooler means you put your sunglasses
that's
on,
right.
You're like, hey, man, stay out of that.
All right, let's put on some West Indies music at this
there
point,
you go.
Too. But, well, this is a good week, and it's really interesting. There's some... really fun stuff that happens this week and some serious stuff. Baseball-wise, we have...
Wait, is this going to be a fun thing or a serious thing, baseball-wise?
Well, this is kind of fun.
Okay,
and
all right.
A little serious, but this is kind of wild, and it's about how history happens and what occurs when people are trying to find out about history. 1819 is when a fellow Abner Doubleday is born.
All right.
Yeah, he's an American Union soldier. And for some reason, he's credited with inventing baseball. Now, he actually has other claims to fame, which supersedes this. So how he got associated with baseball, I'm not exactly sure. He did aim the cannon that fired the first shot at Fort Sumter after the Confederacy took Fort Sumter and
okay.
fired shots. So
he fired the second shot at Fort Sumter.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. Yes. So, you know, that's good. It's like, finally, you know, all right, you know, point counterpoint. And he also, now, this is wild, he also patented the cable car railway that runs in San Francisco.
All right.
And somehow he's
associated... Did he do these things? Because the story with Abner Doubleday in baseball, like, he made that up, right? Or somebody made that up.
Well, that's the thing, is that he's credited with it.
It's really cast doubt on all of his other achievements and accomplishments.
That's right. Really? Did you fire that cannon? I mean, you know, it becomes
like... Did you patent the cable car?
That's it, exactly.
I mean, someone did. It might as well have been him.
And here is another tie-in this week with baseball... of all things, and it's, I don't make this stuff up. Well, some of this.
Well, okay, so 1819, this is his 200th birthday,
yes,
so that much at least is true.
There we go, so that's an important
that we know of.
Yeah, we should start singing the Star-Spangled Banner at
yes,
this point.
Yes, yeah,
isn't that,
take me out to the ball game,
yes,
which
exactly.
He also claimed to write, I'm sure.
oh, well, we have another one of those, but we'll get to that in just a minute.
All
right, 1924, on June 29th, is when a fellow Dr. Roy Walford is born. He lives until 2004, American physician. No, wait a minute. That's not the right one. Sorry. Just scratch that. We're going to go back to 1905.
Okay.
June 29th is when a Cumberland County native played in his first and only Major League Baseball game. And his name is Archibald Wright Graham. Or Moonlight Graham.
Moonlight Graham.
And that's right. He was born in Fayetteville, 1879, raised there and in Charlotte. And he loved playing baseball. And he was in some minor league teams. And then he made a major league appearance, played two innings, and then the game ended. And he was studying to be a doctor, which, of course, he does. And, of course, Field of Dreams. Came out of all that, which
he's his pain.
That's right. That's
yeah.
right. He's the fellow that Burt Lancaster played his
yeah,
role in
yeah.
the movie, which is just wild to think of.
Well, I mean, spoiler alert: Burt Lancaster played his role. Ray Liotta played his role in the movie.
Well, yeah.
Until a very pivotal
that's
moment
right.
later on.
Yes, exactly. Hmm. Well, but that's kind of an important moment. So, you know, I just think that's kind of interesting. Also. On the 29th is another kind of thing, and it's sad. June 29th, 1987, mm-hmm. is when Libba Cotton died, and she has a connection with Carborough. She wrote Freight Train
right.
at the age, and she was born in 1893 at the age of 11. This is 1904 now. She writes Freight Train.
She wrote that when she was 11?
11.
I didn't know that. That's
yes.
cool.
And so she goes on, and she has... kids and marriage, and so she puts aside this
right.
guitar. Well, now here's something wild, and that is that she's in Washington, D.C. She moves there, and she finds employment.
So she was born in Carborough, right?
Yes,
that's
exactly.
the Carborough connection. Yeah, and, so she's in Washington.
And she finds employment with a composer and folklorist, Ruth Crawford Seeger.
Okay.
And it's not till many years later, she idly picks up the guitar and starts playing, and they go, oh my goodness, right in their own household, they can't believe it. And she begins recording and goes on to fame and does not do any more domestic work, just tours for the rest of her life. Isn't that a wild
thing? That's really cool.
And, you know, it reminds me of, in this area, of course, Tim and Denise Duffy started Music Makers 25 years ago. This is their 25th anniversary. Their headquarters are in Hillsborough, but they have done many of the same things as the Seekers did, which is recognize the incredible contribution of blues musicians and got them paying gigs all over the world and really revived that, which is wonderful. But yeah, that's Libba Cotton.
That's a really cool story. Yeah.
Wonderful. Isn't that wild? It just...
And like they got the bikeway named after her for Carrboro.
Yes.
They had the Freight Train Blues series last month.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. And when you hear it, that tune will stick with you. It will not go out of your... If you see her, you can pull her up on YouTube playing it, and it's like, wow.
Oh, I've got it in the library here.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, we play Libba Cotton during the Live and Local Hour. Here's Freight Train right here.
Excellent.
Yeah. Am I playing it now?
I don't know.
Freight
Train.
And that's Libba Cotton. Yeah.
Isn't that something? Yeah. So I'm so glad that you... Cause
we'll play the whole song next hour.
Okay,
so,
good.
Yeah,
good. Because it's really worth hearing. It's just one of those ones that will stick with you.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great, great tune and a great story of a real folk artist from this area.
Awesome. So speaking with Scott Washington, I don't want to forget this doctor that was born in 1924 that you started telling me about.
Oh, yes, Roy Walford.
Roy Walford, yes.
Yes.
Waiting with bated breath to find out what this guy did.
All right. He pioneered a calorie-restricted diet for increasing lifespan.
Okay.
He discovered that when mice were fed a nutrient-rich, calorie-restricted diet, they doubled their lifespan. So he used that kind of reasoning to say, well, if we do it as human beings, we'll do the same thing. He lived in Biosphere 2. He served as a cruise physician. But then he died of ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, at age of 79 because, ironically, later studies showed that a truly calorie-restricted diet without additional elements actually might speed up the progression of ALS. And so some think that might have hastened his death.
What was Biosphere 2? Do you know?
Biosphere 2 is when they put people into, like, and the idea was about if you're going to Mars.
Right,
what do you do?
Right.
And it would be a self-sustaining environment where everything gets planted, the carbon dioxide it goes into the air, but other plants take it down, and you stay in there and you don't come out. And so it's study in psychology as much as anything, as well as nutrition. And they did it, and he was apparently part of it. So I think that's probably more of a contribution in some ways, how can we do something like this? And they learned so much, and NASA certainly has learned so much about from that research project about what is involved and the psychological elements as well as the other things. So it did have a much longer lasting impact, which is really important.
Yeah, I didn't want to leave that behind.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Well, this is the week when in 1894, Labor Day is declared a federal holiday.
Yes.
And signed into law. It's also the week, the same day, June 28th, 1938, is when the national minimum wage was enacted.
All right.
Isn't that interesting? I think that's
good day for workers all around.
Exactly. Some of these interesting...
The Labor Day story is kind of a wild one because the idea of Labor Day only gets created, I think, in the 1870s or 80s. We've had this conversation before.
Yes,
it's fairly quick that it rises to the point where the president is signing it into law as a national holiday.
Everybody says that's a great idea, which is so rare.
Yeah, right.
Which is really unusual. And celebrating working people and saying yes. Because, of course... labor standards were not, there weren't any. So to have a day off, which when you're working seven is a big deal, and that really made a huge difference. Also, let's see, there's another one here. Oh, and I just think this is interesting. It's, this is the time of year I love lifting this one up. 1990, June 27th. Is when NASA announces that the $1.5 billion Hubble telescope, intended to view farther into space, has a flaw and the lens is fuzzy, the pictures they're taking, and they have to send up
another repair.
That's right. And it turns out that when they went back through everything, there was a tiny part where an English team and an American team used different measuring standards, and that was enough to
like
throw
metric
off.
Versus hours.
So I have to say that, which is kind of just wild. Also, 1927, on that same day, is when Bob Keeshan is born. He becomes the guy who becomes Captain Kangaroo. I love his quote. If you want more time in your life, don't watch TV. He might have said, listen to WCHL, and I think that would be equally appropriate.
That's good, because you can listen with ears and then just do things with while you're listening.
Exactly.
As opposed to TV, where you're sitting there and you're watching and you're listening and you're probably not moving around because the TV is right there.
Right.
So you've got to be focused on the television. If you're watching a radio, you can have it on while other things are going on.
Yeah. Exactly. But this is such good radio, sometimes you have to just pull over and listen. It's so good.
Well, it defeats the purpose of the radio, then.
Well, here's another one. As 1776, the first American soldier is executed. His name's Thomas Hickey. Mm-hmm. He's a member of George Washington's guard. He's executed for mutiny and sedition because it's rumored he plotted to kidnap and deliver George Washington to the British. And this was a conspiracy by none other than Governor Tryon and Edmund Fanning of North Carolina fame, which we've just talked about in the last week or so. And they go up to New York, and they're part of that this conspiracy to really kidnap George Washington. And it's like, wow. And it changes his ideas about the war, and he becomes very heavily involved in saying, we need to invest in an intelligence network
as
a result.
I'm actually reading a book right now of writings by George Washington.
Oh, wonderful.
It's a long book. I'll probably be done with it in the next couple of days. But some really fascinating letters, including there's one letter that he wrote to the spies that he was sending into New York to spy on the British. Like, all right, guys, here's what you should do. You should go in, should infiltrate, go into taverns and strike up conversations, just see what you can find, let me know. It's like really fascinating letter.
Wow, he really had his finger on the pulse of like this intelligence.
Yeah,
and
right.
It becomes so important.
You kind of need it.
Oh,
yeah.
Absolutely. Well, here's another thing, a couple things. James Madison, we think of the $10 bill, but of course, that's
Hamilton.
That's Hamilton,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
Oh, they're both rolling over in their graves over that one.
His portrait is, actually, Madison's portrait, I'm sorry, is on the $5,000 bill.
Yes,
something that a lot of us have in our pockets.
Of course, got three of those right now.
And he's the guy who also pushes the what becomes known as the Bill of Rights, the amendments, which is so important. William Hooper is actually... this is such a great story about, how history happens and dates, because he's born, and if you look at one set of historians, he's born June 17th, 1742. But in 1752 is when England adopts the Gregorian calendar that was first proposed in 1582, and they're resistant because it's from the Catholic Church, but it's actually accurate, and so all these dates get adjusted. And so when you are looking in a lot of historical texts, they will simply have that adjusted date.
Right.
And so it results in some confusion to say, okay, if it's before 1752, anything related to England, it's likely that you have to subtract 11 days to find out what the date was that they thought it was.
Interesting.
Yeah. In fact, when they change this, which is September 2nd, 1752, that's when the next day becomes September 13th, 14th. And also they made one other change, which was the first of the year was always celebrated as March 25th, and they changed it to January 1st.
That's probably better. at least celebrated on the first of some month.
Well, there
right?
was riots in the streets about this because people said, give us back our 11 days.
Oh, there are riots in the streets about everything.
That's right. If UNC wins a game, burn something. You know, well, this was similar. That's where it comes from. Where do people get these ideas? Because of these very serious sort of things.
Speaking with Scott Washington, we got time for one more. What do you got?
All right. Well, if everybody likes watching... the dog show that goes on, the National Dog Competition.
Oh, the Westminster,
Well, you'll be glad to know that the first official dog show was in 1859 in Newcastle, England. And I have not found how many dogs or if this was just the local mutts, but that's at least well, mine's bigger than yours. Okay, we'll give you a prize for that. And
there
maybe
you
that
go.
Goes along with the theme, the music we have here.
And that is History Matters for today. Scott Washington, as always, thank you so much.
Thank you, Eric.